Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. The Trump administration announced Thursday that it would shrink the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services staff by almost a quarter and has suggested that it will dissolve the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention division that focuses on HIV prevention. Amid the uncertainty, Alaska organizations aren't sure if the federal funding they rely on will still exist. One organization is the Alaskans Aid Assistance Association, or 4AAs. Its director, Robin Lutz, says losing federal funding could make the HIV/AIDS epidemic get much worse in Alaska and more deadly.
We have the opportunity to end the epidemic. We will not be able to do that if this administration continues to act in the way it has.
In her nearly 30 years of working with HIV-positive people, Lutz has seen major improvements to awareness, prevention, and treatment of HIV and AIDS. But losing federal grant funding means the state would lose progress in fighting the disease. The nonprofit helps Alaskans who are HIV positive with housing and access to life-saving medication. It also helps people get tested to know if they are HIV positive, which helps curb the spread. Roughly 700 people are living with HIV in the state. Threats to Medicaid could further endanger Alaska's HIV positive population. The Trump administration plans to cut the federal health department by 25%. Local organizers say there's been little to no information about the impact these changes will have on federal grants.
Over a third of people living with HIV in the state don't have the resources they need and deserve to manage their health without support. And it's basically economic support.
And Lutz says Alaska is a uniquely difficult place to access HIV testing and prevention medications. Accessing preventative care is already a challenge for Alaskans due to misinformation and stigmatization of HIV. A Canadian mining company announced last week it's starting multiple environmental studies to explore a possible new gold mine in Juneau. The announcement comes as the Trump administration pushes to ramp up mineral production in the U.S. and as gold prices are seeing a historic surge in value. But as KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, any potential gold production is still years away.
The project is called the New Amalga Gold Deposit, and it's being led by Grand Portage Resources, a Vancouver-based mineral exploration company. It was formerly called the Herbert Gold Project, and it's proposed to be located near the Herbert Glacier, about 15 miles north of downtown Juneau. It lies within Juneau's historic gold belt, an area that has produced millions of ounces of gold since it was discovered in the 1800s. Ian Klassen, the president and CEO of the company, says the studies are critical to advancing the project forward and making it, quote, Alaska's next great gold mine.
We've been excited about this project for a long, long time. It's one of the largest, richest, undeveloped deposits around.
Grand Portage has been drilling on federal mining claims in the Tongass National Forest on and off since 2010, and it's already completed 5 years' worth of baseline environmental water studies. When the company first began drilling more than a decade ago, it faced some pushback from local environmental groups and advocates. Guy Archibald is the executive director of the Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commission. He says the proposed mining project is still very conceptual, and it's difficult to know how impactful it could be on Juneau residents.
Mining is inherently destructive, so, you know, what level of damage is considered reasonable? Because federal law only bans unreasonable levels of damage. So, you know, what level here are they going to consider to be reasonable? And does that align with the people in Juneau's vision for, you know, their particular environment? A lot remains to be seen.
Mining already plays a major role in Juneau, socially and economically. The city has strong ties to the largest silver mine in the nation, Hecla Greens Creek Mine on Admiralty Island. There's also Kensington Mine, a gold mine located about 45 miles north of town. While there are still many unknowns about the project, the company has begun to put conceptual plans into place. One involves sending the ore off-site to be processed at a third-party facility. That would allow it to operate while avoiding the need for chemical processing or tailing storage facilities at the site. Tailings are the ground-up rock that's left over after the extraction of valuable metals, like gold, zinc, or silver. Last fall, the company also announced it had signed a letter of intent with the local Alaska Native corporation, Gold Belt Inc., to see if it could develop an ore terminal at Gold Belt's property at Cascade Point. That area is beyond where the road ends in Juneau, and it's also where a new ferry terminal is proposed to be located. Archibald says that idea could come with its own set of issues.
The tailings are going to go somewhere. May not be on, you know, the site of the Herbert River, but they're going to go somewhere. You're talking lots of truck traffic up and down the road, loading it, you know, on a barge to some mill somewhere else.
Klassen with Grand Portage Resources says it's hard to give a timeline for when the project may become a reality. Developing a mine would require state and federal permits and would also be subject to local review.
There's years and years of development in terms of meeting all the different requirements that are presented by the state as well as the federal government.
It's also unclear if the company's Canadian roots will become an issue as it pushes to develop the project in the U.S. Tension between the two countries is high following the Trump administration's long-promised tariffs on imported goods, including some Canadian imports that took effect. The president has also called multiple times for the annexation of Canada. Last month, mining leaders from Juneau and across the state said they had an optimistic outlook for resource development in Alaska under the new administration. On his first day in office, the president issued executive orders calling for more drilling, logging, and mining in Alaska. Klassen says the company plans to do more outreach with the public as the project moves forward. Last fall, the company shared its proposed work schedule for 2025, which includes drilling approximately 15 holes to test the mineralized structure of multiple veins. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And in a sudden move, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, is pulling up to $43 million in federal funding that supports public health programs in Alaska. The COVID-era grants were meant to reduce health disparities in the state, especially for rural Alaskans. They were also helping the state prepare for the next pandemic or public health emergency. Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra has more.
The federal government notified Alaska's Division of Public Health Tuesday that the state won't receive millions of dollars in public health grants it was expecting over the next 2 years. The State Department of Health didn't agree to an interview for this story, but spokesperson Alex Huseman said by email that the department is assessing the potential impacts and next steps. The funds were meant to address the continued impact of COVID-19 on the economy, public health, state and local governments, individuals, and businesses. Dr. Ann Zink led the state's response to the COVID-19 pandemic as chief medical officer. She says the money was also meant to reduce the impact of future disease outbreaks and pandemics.
I worry that without letting them finish, we will be set back tremendously. Again, it's hard to know for sure, but it feels like decades of lessons learned are going backwards if we lose this.
Zink says stopping the funding partway through projects is a waste of money and effort.
The money that was already spent may not be realized in its benefit to Alaskans because we may not be able to finish the project or we started something and can't get it done.
One of the state's projects that is losing funding is an electronic records sharing system, which is partially finished. That's according to a source working at the Division of Public Health. The source doesn't want to be identified because they're not authorized to speak to media. Zink says the system would allow for data sharing between public health and the broader healthcare system to help them communicate and work better together. The division source says this COVID-era funding was also focused on reducing health disparities across the state, especially in rural Alaska. They say such major cuts will have a devastating ripple effect throughout all Alaska public health programs. And they say almost 10% of the division, 50 people, are fully funded by the cut grants, and some are likely to lose their jobs. The state did not give an estimate of the total amount of funding lost, but the source provided documents showing the grants amounted to $25 million in funds already allocated by Congress. An additional $18 million cut has already been awarded to state organizations and contractors, they say. And the future of those funds is uncertain and complicated legally. A majority of the funding, the source says, has gone toward expanding rural health access. But the Anchorage Health Department has also received a big chunk of funding to reduce disparities within urban areas. A spokesperson for the Anchorage Health Department says they don't currently have enough information to say how the city may be impacted by this decision. Zink says the grants were aimed at the biggest public health concerns in Alaska.
These dollars were very tailored to what Alaskans need and want. And these were not federal dollars telling us how to practice or what to do. Alaska got the opportunity to decide if we were going to apply for them or not and apply for them in ways that met the department's goal of the health, well-being, and self-sufficiency of Alaskans. And to have those dollars cut, which are Alaskan taxpayer dollars, is going to hurt Alaskans. And that is hard for me to watch.
It's unclear whether the state will be able to pay the contracts that have already been promised to organizations and communities across the state. In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
And starting on May 7th, every air traveler 18 or older will need a real ID to board a flight within the United States. Alaska DMV manager Lauren Whiteside says her agency is ready to help any residents who still need to upgrade their ID.
We are ready and willing to issue to anyone and everyone who doesn't have one that wants one.
The Real ID deadline was delayed many times, but the Transportation Security Administration says this upcoming deadline is for real. Whiteside urges travelers who plan to fly on or after May 7th to ensure they have a Real ID. Without one, people may face delays or be denied entry at TSA security checkpoints, preventing them from boarding their flights. Military bases will require Real IDs for entry starting May 7th. Whiteside says the DMV has already issued Real IDs to many Alaskans.
DMV has been issuing Real IDs for over 6 years now. We started issuing them in January of 2019. We've issued a little over 350,000 unique Real ID credentials since January of 2019.
Whiteside says the department has provided ample opportunities for Alaskans outside of Anchorage to get Real IDs through mobile units and outreach programs.
DMV does have a mobile DMV unit that does travel to rural Alaska, and we have traveled to several communities over the last few years issuing Real IDs.
If you're unsure if your driver's license is a Real ID, check the top right-hand corner. It will have a star symbol to indicate compliance. If you still need to obtain a Real ID, you can visit your local DMV. For more information, visit dmv.alaska.gov. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 50 degrees and sunny this afternoon. The low tonight looks like it'll be around 40 degrees. Tomorrow and Sunday look like they'll be sunny as well, with a bit of rain over Saturday night, and temperatures in the mid-40s. You're listening to KTOO.